Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I investigate really what's the leading edge of a spiritual revolution that's happening in this country and around the world, and kind of opening up to higher energies. And that's very much what tonight's program is about, with my two guests who are really spearheading something called Fire the Grid Part 2. It's happening July 28th, and we'll get into exactly where and how and all that's going on. I'm talking tonight to Brad Field and Anna L., and they are going to tell us about what is actually going to be happening on July 28th, upcoming next week. So thank you both for being here.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so just to refresh people's memory, from my perspective, about 2 years ago, 2007, I think it was July, what was the date?
Yeah, July 17, 2007.
Right.
There at 11:11.
At 11:11 a.m., a woman named Shelley Yates got the message for the planet, and everyone, a lot of people I knew around the planet did tune in. And there was an energy coming into the planet that I felt. I mean, I meditated for an hour that day and really felt there was something coming into our field. And so that's why I'm excited about whatever's going to be happening on the 28th. But why don't you talk, Anna L., and tell us, you don't have to go into the whole Shelley Yates story, but tell us, like, how you met her and then what you felt was happening in 2007, what's happening next week.
Well, first, people have to know that way before, like 15 years before I met Shelley, mm-hmm. I had a vision given by my guides about the Earth. I was talking with a friend. I was not even meditating, and I saw the Earth floating in space, but she was completely dark. Like, mm-hmm. It was hard to see that the Earth was there. It was so dark. And then I heard a voice saying to me, and he chose this planet to show his glory. And it's not the way I talk, and I'm not a religious person at all. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I don't believe in religion. I believe in spirituality, in love, and unconditional love, and respect, and happiness, and joy. So I heard this voice saying that to me, and I saw on the left corner of the Earth a light starting to grow, and it grew as big as the Earth. And on Earth, I saw little dots of light starting to ignite, and it did a chain reaction. And all of a sudden, it exploded and became very, very bright. So bright, in fact, that I covered my eyes, even though I was not looking with my eyes. I was looking with my third eye. But I had to cover my eyes because it was so bright. And after that, when I opened them and I looked, I saw the Earth like a jewel floating in space. Everything was crystal clear, crisp water, and the soil, like, you could feel that she was completely healed and completely rejuvenated. It was so beautiful that my eyes started to cry. And then they said to me, "We promise you your planet is going to look like that when we're finished with her." And I started laughing. I said, "Oh, yeah. At 100,000 years? Huh, you're joking me. I won't even be there." And they said, no. I said, "Okay, well, how much time does it take to do this?" And they said, "An hour. Everybody is going to decide to sit together to create that, and you're going to have help from above." And for 15 years, I was thinking, which event would bring people together to sit for an hour to do this? And after, 15 years, I was starting to think, like, do I have to do it? Like, how can I do this? Like, what can I do, to do that? And then I met Shelley at a conference in Montreal. I was taking care of Dr. Stephen Greer, who's doing an amazing work too, and from the Disclosure Project.
Right, I interviewed Stephen Greer, yeah.
Well, he's a friend of mine. And he was waiting in the lobby of the hotel one morning. I was supposed to pick him up to go for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And she was with him. And he said, do you mind that she's coming with us this morning? I said, no problem. And we started talking, and I felt instantly familiar with her, like a
sister.
What year
was that? When did you meet Shelley?
On May 2005.
So after that whole incident where she saw those beings and everything, right? It was after that?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. You know, she had her experience in 2002. Her near-death experience was in 2002.
Okay, I forgot.
But she didn't know. Yeah, she had the message, but she didn't know what to do with it.
Okay. So then she met you in 2005, right?
Yeah. And she was said by her guide that she would meet someone in Montreal, but she didn't know who. She thought it was Stephen Greer.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing she thought at the time was to give it over to someone else, because she didn't want to do it.
Right.
Because it's so far-fetched. You know, she was a diehard atheist.
Right, but then she started to see these beings, and these beings, of course, saved her life.
Even after that, she had trouble with that because it was too strange.
Well, to save her son,
her son was
dead. Her son was practically dead, and she listened to these voices.
I know. Even yes.
And have you met her son?
But she didn't want to hear about miracles. She didn't want to, you know, she just wanted to have her day-to-day normal life.
Well,
simple
it's
life.
Too late for someone who's been touched by the divine.
Yes, I know, but that's how she thought, and she fought it and fought it and fought it. And she finally came to Montreal because, you know, she had no choice because she didn't know what to do with this. And she was finding heavier and heavier.
But anyway, she
when we met and she told me her story, she told me the whole story, and she finishes by the same vision. She saw the Earth completely dark, floating in space. The only difference with her vision and mine was she was seeing a grid around the planet.
Oh.
I didn't see a grid, but she was seeing a grid.
Oh, I see.
And the grid is made of hexagons.
Uh-huh.
And each hexagon is a reflection of one living being on Earth. Even an insect has an hexagon as big as a human.
So
it's all the same size.
The water molecules in their perfect state are hexagonal, you know.
I know.
So that's
but every living thing on Earth and the Earth herself, every living thing has those field of hexagons around them.
Actually,
humans, rocks, plants.
Yes, right. Now, this physicist proved that why that is true, because of the double Toro effect that's spinning energy into us and energy out of us at the same time, or all living things. So anyway, getting back to you and Shelley, so she had this vision then.
The same vision as me. And she said, finally, she said, it must be a dream.
Mm.
It must be a dream because... it's not true, you know. And I grabbed her arm and I said, listen, lady, I've been waiting for you for 15 years. I said, there's no way you're going to go like this. No way.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me your phone number and I'm going to call you and we're going to do this. And Stephen Greer was beside us and he said, yes, Shelley, they showed me the same thing. So I said, we're three already and we must have other people that have seen the same thing. We have to do this. So I started calling her when she was back to Nova Scotia because I'm in Montreal. I started calling her every week. So when do we do this? When do we do this, Shelley? She even said to her kids, don't answer her. She's crazier than mommy. She believes me.
But she kept seeing these beings that would appear to her, these tall white beings, right?
Yeah, liquid light. She said that they look like liquid light beings.
Right. And so they gave her that date of July 17th, right?
Yes. 2007.
And they told them that there'd be this special energy coming to the Earth at 11:11 a.m. that time.
And to raise our energy field, we had to do something that makes that brings us joy.
Uh-huh.
And we just had to be grateful for that moment, and it would lift our energy up to a certain level.
And it
level
really did. I truly, truly felt something, and it was...
Yeah,
it
me
was,
too.
It was surprising, because I do a lot of meditation, and I don't always feel what I felt that day in that collective consciousness we were all in.
Yeah. We really had a boost that day, and we're going to have a second boost on the 28th.
Let's talk about, okay, so that was 2 years ago. Shelley Yates sort of disappeared off the radar then, and so I was just surprised to hear that my friend Susan, who was with me during the meditation 2 years ago, because we did this group meditation in Central Park, said, hey, she just looked up Fire the Grid, and it's happening. And there wasn't the same publicity about this date for whatever reason. And what's going to be happening on the July 28th?
Well, I'll let Bradfield talk.
Oh, okay. And also, go ahead,
I don't
want
to do the whole show alone.
No.
He has something to say, too.
I'm sure. Okay, yes.
Because this is a very important part of the project. Without him, like, nothing would have happened, because we needed... You know, she asked me, do you know somebody who would build a website for nothing? Because everything has to be done for free. And I said, yeah, I know someone. And I presented Bradfield to her, and it lifted off with him. And with his music. His music is a great part of the whole
Talk about
movement.
Your music, but also talk about what Shelley saw, what people see for this. Because that's what, talk about your participation, Bradfield.
Let's talk first about the event. I mean, Fire the Grid 2, July 28th, next Tuesday, actually, 19:19 Rio de Janeiro time. Okay, what essentially is happening, has been happening, since July 17th,
2007.
The energy that came down, that came through us, human beings... in their purest form, are lightning rods, conduits, if you will. And we're able to draw this energy through us. We drew it through us on the 17th. We infused it with joy, with gratitude. It passed through us, down into the earth, and into the water table.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what they've explained to Shelley is that it traveled around the planet for 1 year, and then rested, arrived at its destination, which was crystal beds underneath Brazil. And the energy has been housed there since that day. It's pulsating gently. And on the 28th, we will again have a cosmic opening that will essentially, if I can paint this picture, rain down energy onto the Earth, much as it did 2 years ago, and we are going to release this energy from the crystal beds and send it back to source. Why are we going to do that? Essentially, because the energy can't stay there, it's creating an imbalance. So this is phase two, completing the loop of that, and we are going to be a lot of people again. First time around, we were 92 countries strong. There's been estimates, and I won't get into specifics because it's not important, but let's just say we were a lot of people in the millions.
Mm-hmm.
And we are collectively enough to charge every possible positive thought.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've told her is that they see us now. I remember earlier Annie talked about the Earth being black.
Yeah.
From above. Well, they're seeing us now. I mean, we're being seen because...
Who's seeing us?
Who's seeing us? The universe is seeing us.
Mm.
Because, I mean, we're a very important part of the cosmos, but we're but one element. I mean, there's a lot of elements interacting here. And, of course, we see this Earth, we see the people here, but we... we know what we have to do. We feel it. It's inherent truth. We're designed that way. It's encoded in our being. So now we're starting to raise the frequency individually. And Annie's was saying, when we fired the grid 2 years ago, each person who participated had an effect on others. So when you were sitting in Central Park with your group, if you were 20 or 30 people in that group, it wasn't just that, because you're radiating this outward as well. So it's having a very, very broad effect, and it's contagious. It's like a smile. Yeah. When you smile, someone smiles, and this is what's going on, and it's accelerating.
Yeah, Shelley is talking about one true believer have an effect on the thousand not so secure in their beliefs. So a one person affects a thousand more.
So, well,
so it has a chain reaction, like I saw. It is a chain reaction.
But I just want to ask about Shelley. She's still getting information from these beings, but she's stepped back a little bit in being public about it, and she's sort of given it over to you guys to put it out there.
Well, people have to understand, I've lived it myself, being a channeler for 7 years. When you have this kind of energy going through you, it's so powerful that all the blockage or the fears are coming at the surface, and you have to deal with it. And not everybody can. And so
you have to
some
clear
people
your own
end
personal
up in
stuff.
Asylum, you know?
Yeah,
some
I mean,
people
especially
end
if you
up
have personal stuff, everything comes up in that field.
Yeah, and
what were you saying, Brad?
Especially fear.
Yeah.
So you have to clean that up in order to be able to continue or face it and work on it. And, you know, it's a very hard path. And Shelley had a very heavy life before her experience. Very sad and hard.
Right.
So, of course, when you come at the contrast with that loving energy and what she lived is so, it's so different. It's so hard to, you're stretched between the two.
Right. Okay, Bradfield, were you saying what?
Yeah. When you have people who are being touched with incredible light, as it has been throughout history, I mean, and there's been all kinds, as we were talking about earlier, it's very, very crucial to separate the message and the messenger. I mean, a lot of people are under the impression that if the messenger brings the information and then recedes into the night, that so long the message no longer has validity. It's exactly the opposite. The messenger is a vehicle for the message. And the message, in this case, it's a universal message. Whether Shelley ever speaks again or whether she doesn't, I can tell you that everything I have ever heard out of this woman, and I've heard a lot, I've heard hours and hours, because when she's in the zone, she just talks, and it's all truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's never anything I've heard from this woman that could even be perceived to be anything that couldn't be absolute purity. So you listen to this, and you realize very quickly that the woman has been blessed to deliver this message, which she has done, and she's done it very well. And now it's up to the rest of humanity to take this and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just ask you about the last message then, that this whole thing about the July 28th. So how did it come through Shelley, and how did you get to receive it? So what actually came, and where did it come from, and yeah, how did that whole process happen, this second fire the grid? Like,
after being silent, that's what you mean?
How did this new message about July 28th, when did that come to her, and how did it come to her?
Well, it came to her while she was in seclusion.
Uh-huh.
And
so
after
the July 17th, 2007,
Shelley
went into seclusion.
For over a year. She was silent for over a year. Even us, we didn't know what was happening. We didn't even know there was a second part.
And then what happened? How'd she emerge?
And then she called us in October because we said we have to do something. We have to continue because it's too important for humanity, mm-hmm. for the planet. And she called us. She said, I have new information. Would you have to come here. I'm going to, you know, all lay it out to you, and you decide if it's too crazy or not.
So you went to Newfoundland?
Yeah, we went to Nova Scotia to see her.
Oh, Nova Scotia. Yeah.
And she told us everything she had received for that year and a half. And I said to her, and she agreed, I said to her, I don't want to let people down. Because it's not my nature, it's not Bradfield's nature either. For us, it was very hard to live, very, very hard, because I was coordinating everyone. Every team leader on the planet had to go through me. I was answering emails. So I was the nervous system of the, and I love people, and I love to communicate, and I loved what I did.
Yeah.
So falling silent without any news, I just couldn't take it. We didn't know what to say to people, because
again,
we didn't know what was happening except that she was sick.
Yeah, Bradfield.
I think it's just to look at it from the perspective that people are not accountable. This is what, okay, Fire the Grid 2 is about being present. Fire the Grid 1, what we had learned was that we are going to define our intention. What does that mean? We essentially said, this is what we want for the planet. This is the type of world we want to live in. We are going to become a conscious cell of light and say, this is what we want. Fire the Grid 2 is about being present and accountable. So it takes essentially each individual's responsibility to another level. And this is why it's so important that people do not get mixed up worrying about whether Shelley's there or whether Shelley's not there. I mean, Buddha's not there either. And neither is Jesus, and neither really is. I mean, this is information that we receive throughout time, that they're all aspects of our own potential. So as we become responsible, we don't need the guru. We simply resonate with that truth, and then we raise our own frequency. And this is probably, and I've never said this publicly before, but my guess is that's exactly why Shelley is no longer present. Because perhaps Shelley has fulfilled her mandate. Perhaps Shelley's role has been completed to perfection. And now it's up to us to take it to the next step.
But she is the channel to this source. Of course, it's not to make her into a guru, but she's connected, and maybe you're right. Maybe she's done her job and she's brought in the information, and it's up for the rest of the planet to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But she seems to have a level of clarity or direct contact.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's true.
And
that's valuable, at least to me, not to worship it, but there's been clear people, when they're in the zone, of course, that can come in. So I'm just curious the kind of stuff that she got in that year and a half. And then also definitely let's go into what people are supposed to do next week on July 28th. But I'm just curious, like, what else on that kind of cosmic level is happening to us on the Earth? And where are we going? And what's our ultimate destination?
We're going to an era of 500,000 years of a universal peace. That's where we're heading. We're in the infancy of this universal peace. We're at the threshold. And we are the generation that is going to make the difference and step in this era.
And how do we do that?
By getting together, unifying in our similarities instead of dissolving in our differences.
Right.
We can cooperate. We have all the tools on the planet to make this planet a paradise again. We have the money, we have the resources, we have the intelligence, we have, all the tools. We just need to get together, organize, and do it.
Well, we want to
right
do it.
Right now, everybody has little groups all over the planet doing this, doing that, but we're all scattered. We're not organized. And
right.
the goal
so
is to give
yeah.
food, to give clean water, to give shelter, to give clothing, to give medicine, to give healthcare to everybody on the planet. And we can do it. We just have to organize. And we're
right.
there's enough of us to do this.
And there's countries and there's greed and there's
It's not politicians that are going to make the difference. It's us. We are putting politicians on top of us. But we, the people, can make the difference. And all the great changes on Earth have been done by the people, for the people.
Well, I'm with you on that. So where do we start? I mean,
we start by getting enough people conscious about the fact that we can do it.
And Bradfield, what were you saying?
Well, I'm saying we have started. I mean, on July 17th, 2 years ago, what Shelley was told is that we were collectively enough. What I believe I heard in the beginning, and this is perhaps a rough figure, but it was something along these lines. 86,000 people were needed to fire the grid. Why 86,000? I'm sorry?
80,000. 80,000.
80? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we had another six.
C'est la racine carrée de 1%.
Okay, so that's the square root of 1%.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had that.
And a whole lot more.
Right.
And
so
this was the launching pad of the new energy. And they've been trying to do this. Shelley's explained to us that they've been trying to do this since the 60s. In the 60s, apparently, they were talking to a lot of people. There was a lot of this stuff going on.
But
at the time...
Who's they? Can you just describe who they are? Because there's particular...
Why don't you tell us who you think they are? I mean, this is a collective energy. They're, to me, it's not even important the name you put on it. It's source energy.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but I'm just interested to see. I mean, yeah, so you're saying just basically the higher consciousness of humanity and the cosmos itself.
Yeah, they explained to Shelley that they don't want to put a label on themselves because we're going to, again, use it to divide ourselves.
Everyone
loves being better because, you know, it's been told by Shelley, and this is not good because it's not, come on. You know, we always
right.
do that. So that's why I didn't want to put a label on themselves.
Okay, but
we call them the
beings
light
that are here to help
that.
Lift up the consciousness of the planet, these beings, whoever you
yes.
want to call them. And they are an extension and a part of ourselves, of course, because we're connected
yes.
to all things.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so
on.
They're here, and they've been trying through the 60s, and something ignited in 2007. And now this
yes.
energy is ripe for another igniting.
Yes.
And so what then happens on July 28th if we, I mean, how many people, do we need a certain amount? And what will happen if we fire the grid again or lift the energy off
the grid? The grid has already been fired.
Right.
That has to be clear.
Uh-huh.
And right now, what we're going to do is this energy that we gathered in 2007 is going to go back to the universe through us. While going through us, we can do like a Christmas list of the world we want to live in. And we have to imagine through our hearts and mind how it's going to look. So we have to visualize it clearly, what we want,
what
and
we
we're going to imprint it within the grid of the planet and within ourselves and within the universe. So it becomes
on July
material.
28th, you're saying at the appropriate time, whatever 9:19 p.m. is in Brazil, wherever you are on 19, the planet.
19.
What's that?
19:19 real time. Now, for people who are unclear of that, in New York, for example, we're on Eastern Standard Time. That would be 6:19 in the evening. And no matter
California,
where you are,
California, 3:19 in the afternoon. Wherever you are, from 3:19 if you're in California to 4:19 or New York 6:19 to 7:19. Just concentrate on the shopping list or this Christmas list of all the great things you want to happen to yourself and the planet. Is that what you're saying?
For the world. For the world.
For the world. For 1 hour.
Alan, just to reiterate what I was saying earlier, what excites me a lot about Fire the Grid, too, personally, is that being accountable not only for where we are, but where we want to be, this will be the key element of the shift. Because it's fine to visualize. I think it's wonderful. I mean, there's a lot of great things that can come from that. But when you put that into tangible
action,
reality, as in you become that change. One thing to think about it, become the conscious cell of light. Become that in everything you do. Use it when you create. Use it when you speak, when you interact with others. Pretty soon you've got, and I can tell you for a fact that I've seen this happen in my own life. It is contagious, and you lift the bar. You no longer accept what is not vibrating at that level. It no longer becomes acceptable to live in that space. So what happens around you, everything starts to change. And what Shelley explained to us a couple of years ago was that as your frequency rises and you lock it in, it doesn't go down anymore.
Right.
And as collectively we begin to do this, you can just imagine, I mean, you just feel the words. It's unbelievable of what can happen at that point. And when you see sectors of the world and places that are already putting this into action, you arrive there and there's a whole different energy and you feel it.
Like where? Tell me where we can see that.
Where have you seen it?
Where have I seen that? Well, I've seen it in, well, that's a good question, in little colonies that seem to be collecting the higher places like Sedona, Arizona, or Glastonbury, England, or Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Exactly. And why is that? Because these areas, first of all, there's a connectivity with the earth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is something else that Shelley has talked about. If possible, on July 28th, sit when you meditate on the earth in direct contact. It is an increased, Annie could explain it perhaps.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Also, tell me whatever else we need to do, because hopefully people will be listening to this and doing like the most, you know, connected way in. So tell us, Anna. Sit on the earth.
Yeah, you sit on the earth. And the energy coming from the crystal beds is going to come out and go through you.
Uh-huh.
And while it's going through you, you can encode it with your positive thoughts. And imagine the world as you want it to be, with joyful people and people that are fed and abundance for everybody, people healthy, and also animals and plants and water and the earth itself and the aquatic animals too. Like everything healed and perfect as it should be.
Okay, and then do we need enough amount of people? I mean, or what?
We are already enough, but the you know, the most the better. You talk to your friends about it, talk to your family about it, and have them help you meditate. Children can do it. Children, it's their world that we're creating right now. It's their world in the future. So we have to do it for our children and our children's children.
Okay,
for the future of our race.
Then is there another phase to this? I mean, does 2012 fit into this?
That's very interesting. Yes, there will be a third Fire the Grid, which will be called Fire the Grid 1, and we're not going to talk about that tonight, but Yes, there will. And it will be in 2011.
Okay. And it's in preparation of 2012.
It's a while.
We have that information, and we're very anxious to talk about it. And we will begin that process after the 28th.
Well, let's definitely talk about, have another conversation. But does December 21st, 2012 fit into the information Shelley got?
No, it doesn't. Not quite. But that,
it's in preparation of 2012.
I mean, but these are dates that have been associated with the Mayan calendar, and there's, you know, there's things that have been anticipated for a long time. We will definitely fire the grid before those dates for the final step, which will be fire the grid one. And,
So how do you see, like, things changing? I mean, so after July 28th, if we all do this, how will things be different for us?
Well,
things will
be
different. This is an internal change that we're talking about, okay?
Okay.
People who think, there was actually people who thought the first time that after 1 hour that everything would change. And you see, did they change?
Yes, they did.
Collectively will be the change. This is an internal shift.
Right.
We are spiritual beings on a human journey, spiritual beings that came here to have an experience. The experience of humanity now is that there is no more time to waste. The planet, as we have known it, has been dying, and we are connected. We are, all living things are connected. So as the change occurs in each of us, this is where things begin to change. And so you're asking me a question that I think you already know the answer to. You have that information.
Well thank you. No, I agree. I appreciate you pushing it back on me, because then it helps me look inside myself and see, well, you know what? After July 17th, 2007, there was a change in my consciousness.
If there was in yours, there was in people around you as well, because you have an influence around, you know, your actions and what you say and what you think and what you throw out around you as a vibration will affect your friends, your family. Already that is a big change.
Earlier there was some talk about politicians and the people and this and that. And you want to know the truth? It's all the same thing, okay? The truth is that politicians are participating in Fire the Grid. I'm quite sure. I mean, in the first Fire the Grid, we had ministers, we had monks, we had laymen, we had everything. Every aspect of society was represented. Politicians are people. We're all human. We're all working towards the same goal. And you know, the truth is that every person who gets into politics probably at the root wants to make the world a better place. Maybe just their city, maybe their township. These people are well-intended, and the politicians of the future will be higher consciousness beings. I can guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. I think people like Dennis Kucinich is already, you know, that type of global politician. I mean, at least I like him.
And there's going to be more and more. Like, there was going to be more and more people that are conscious of what's happening and want to change, and it will change because there's going to be support. There's going to be more and more. And there's already, I've watched a video yesterday about an environmentalist, and he was saying that there was endless list of organization that works to help the planet and the people, and it's changing already. We are the change we want to see in the world.
Well, I agree with that, but it does seem like the first 2007 there was a lot more awareness about Fire the Grid. There doesn't seem to be that for this one.
Well, what you have to understand is the people that were aware of it and did the meditation won't necessarily talk to us or write to us. They know about the second one, and they're going to do it again. And some people even continued after 2007, have meeting every week or every month, and continue to meditate for the planet.
Okay, but also I think the people who've already been part of Fire the Grid will also, maybe on a subconscious level, be participating in this one that's coming up.
Well, they're going to consciously participate.
I don't think it's subconscious at all. I think it's very conscious.
It's very
people
conscious.
People are participating very consciously, and it's very important to do it consciously.
Well, I know, but I'm saying people who aren't aware that there is a Fire the Grid 2 might be participating anyway. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
you, Alan,
and directly through us, yes, they will.
What's that, Brad?
Really? I was just going to say, in the last week, our website traffic has quadrupled, so it gives you an idea. I think people have a pretty good idea what's coming next Tuesday.
Okay, because I just heard about it, really. I didn't, I mean, in the first one, I'm just saying there was a big buzz, and this one, I mean, just in my experience, but, you know.
Well, we had two years to prepare, right? That meditation, we started working on it in 2005. And it built very slowly. And it's also a matter of people aren't going to always find things in the same manner. Every event has a reason. I mean, it's like when Shelley first showed me the information for Fire the Grid 2. I said, wow, okay, there's no drowning story this time, of course, because, you know, that happened 4 years ago. And so you look at the information. Say, well, okay, you know, it doesn't seem as exciting this time. But you see, this is not the point. We're not putting a film on a screen here. This is about the future of humanity. And, you know, once you've understood who you are and why we're here, what becomes exciting is becoming that, okay? This isn't flashing lights. This is all about our own evolution. So I find it very exciting at that level. And if you read the information carefully on the website, the sections, what we know and the plan that Shelley has written, it's filled with so much purity, so much love, so much incredible energy that just to read it and to breathe it in, it's already the beginning of a change.
Yes. You did a great job. The website is firethegrid.com or .org. What is it?
Yeah,
both?
Either one.
Okay,
either
but
one.
Also, Bradfield, talk about your then inspiration through the music, because there's a big connection to your composition. Then.
Well, let Annie talk about that.
Okay, sure.
Really? Well, okay. First of all, the first Fire the Grid has been given through a song called Sky Scent, who's downloadable for free on the site. And one day she, you know, I sent her the album, Spiritual Beings on a Human Journey, because she felt bad and she, you know,
Ooh, Shelley,
she felt depressed.
Sent that?
Yeah, I sent it to Shelley. And she listened to it. And when she listened to Sky Scent, she said, I felt my heart chakra open, wide open. I saw a light coming out of it, and I saw two golden threads going up, twisting and going up to a big, big light above her. And
this is
the information for the project came in at the same time, and she could hear above the music tones, and those tones it were encoded with a message that she only could hear.
This is the music Bradfield wrote.
Yes, it's
Sky
the music
Scent.
That Bradfield holds. Then,
okay.
And it's called Sky Scent Disclosure.
Sky
it's
Scent?
Written,
Scent?
Sky Scent Disclosure.
Okay.
In brackets. And this song has been composed for the Disclosure Project for Stephen Greer.
Right.
To help him, but she said there's tones in it, and those tones contain a message. And within the tones, she had all the information on how to build the site, about the forward letter, about the three sections, about the stones, which is encoded itself with a wake-up code. and the date and the color of the site, the images, like everything was there. And she called me. She was all excited. She said, "No, I know how to do it, Annie. I know how to do it." And she told me what happened. But she said,
something in the music opened up another part of her.
Yeah, she said it's embedded with tones, and those tones have a message within it, within them.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know there was tones in Bradfield music. She's the first one who told us that.
So Bradfield, but where'd you get the music? How did it just come to you, like an inspiration, that music?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been composing music since I've been very young, and I don't sit down with any conscious attempt to do anything specific. I create with what I call purity of intention. And essentially what that means is to be completely, completely open in the moment and allow whatever to take place. I have to understand, you know, I have essentially a bachelor degree in music and everything else. I mean, I did this when I was young. But from the moment I start to create, the rest of it took the, you know, I mean, I quit the Royal Conservatory at 13. I quit every form of establishment very young.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I've simply been creating. I mean, I've written everything from rock music to symphonic orchestra. But I don't ever sit down and do anything specifically. And some magical things happen when we create that way. And
do you want to play some of the stuff, music in the background about that particular piece?
I'm not really set up to do that.
That's okay.
It's on the website. It's on the Fire the Grid and freely downloadable.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to ask Claire one more thing about Shelley. Did she just retire, and is like, or is she still getting information and passing it on to you, or did she just shut down that channel and say, "Okay, guys"?
I think that Shelley will. The future will let us know what happens with that. At the moment, Shelley is trying to lead a normal life, but she has shared an awful lot of stuff with us, and we actually have information about the next phase as well. So. Even if Shelley doesn't talk for a while, I think we now know what has to be done, and we're moving ahead with that.
Are you coming out with? Will there be a book about this, or
I don't know. Shelley's received all kinds of offers. I mean, almost every day she receives an invitation to go somewhere, and it's hard to understand for some people why she wouldn't want to do that. But you have to, you know, part of a higher consciousness, and I want to make this clear. Because I didn't say this earlier. Part of living in a higher consciousness is that you have to respect the choices of others. If you don't agree with them, of course, don't surround yourself with them, but respect what you don't understand. It's hard. I mean, out of everyone in the world, and you have all kinds of questions about Shelley, it's probably hardest on us because... You know, Shelley used to call me every night, and we'd talk, and she would share stuff. And I can tell you that when you're in that energy, as Annie said earlier, it's quite incredible. You get off the phone, and you feel like you've got access to a whole new realm of things. And Shelley can, when she is in that zone, the information, the purity of it, it's not just about changing the world. Shelley can explain to you how to heal your relationship. She can see and feel your energy. And she actually passed a lot of this on to me because there seems to be, and what she's explained, if you read a text on our website called The Synchronicity with Bradfield, it explains a little bit that Shelley and I apparently have come together at different times, even in past lives, and we come and we create the most difficult circumstances to meet, and then we do things. We work together, and it's a very unlikely pairing because the first time I saw Shelley, you know, I was mixing an album, and Annie said, "Can we invite her to dinner?" And I said, "Well, you know, frankly, I'm busy. I don't really want anybody in the house tonight." So So that was a 2-minute meeting, and two months later, I mean, you know, she's calling and asking me if I'll donate 15 minutes of free music to the world. So it was quite a leap of faith at the time. And she said, you know, Bradfield, you can charge for this if you want. And I, at the time, you know, I thought about that a lot. But she said, you have been asked to do this freely, because if we create this project from nothing, it will create a precedent for how to change the world. Because you don't change the world with money. Fire the Grid was built with three individuals, Shelley, Annie, and myself. We started with a website and a forward letter. The first week, we had 40 people on the site. Within a month, we had 60,000 people on the site. The site was visited by millions of people. This is something that started with nothing. We did it for nothing, and we never accepted anything. And she said to me, if you do this way, abundance will come to you, but you have to trust in the universe. And that's what we did. And it's been quite an amazing story, and we're just getting started, actually.
Well, so imagine if everyone was at that place, that they were in that zone where we could just know all that stuff. I think that's the planet we're coming to, just the way
exactly.
You described Shelley. And
that, Alan, now you're hitting it directly on the head. This is exactly what it's about, is that everyone has access. We all have access to that, and it's a matter of tapping into it. And an event like Fire the Grid is a facilitator. It facilitates the change because we're getting help from above. Remember at the outset of your show, you talked about the energy you felt on July 17th. This is not an accident. This date has been given. Even astrologers the first time around said, how did you find this date? This is a high frequency date. There's no question about it. And then when we unite with that and we tap into that and we allow that to come through us, we become conduits for that, and it enhances it. And this is a catalyst among many.
Well, you know, it's interesting. July 29th and 30th is the Hebrew holiday of Tu B'Shuav, I think, is where the supposed to be the darkest day where the temples were destroyed, and it's a time of mourning on the following date of that, or 2 days. It's actually evening of the 29th. It's a intense holiday in the Jewish calendar. And so I don't know, this is something about the energies, and there was just this eclipse actually tonight. I think we're experiencing this lunar eclipse. Or the solar eclipse, I think it is, because it's a new moon. So anyway, there's been a lot of energies coming into the earth, and I think the people who are aware of their own sensitivity can feel the shifts of consciousness that are happening for us all, you know? So
and we can see it around us already.
So tell us, Alan, how will you spend the meditation? So what are your plans?
Well, now that I've talked to you, I'm going to, whoever's listening out there is welcome to join me and my friend Susan in Central Park at the Obelisk, which is around East 83rd Street behind the Metropolitan Museum of Art. There's the Cleopatra's Needle, it's called. And for what you're saying, I think we should either be touching the obelisk because it's stone, and these obelisks were made as kind of etheric antennas by the Egyptians, or sitting on the grass. I mean, do you think touching the stone would give us actually more energy?
No.
Personally, no. I think that whatever works for each individual is what they have to do. Some people are going to feel that energy dancing. Some people will feel it flying. I mean, sitting on the earth is what Shelley said would create the most powerful experience. And again, I mean, it's a matter of, we are all unique individuals. What's important is that we connect in the way that we're comfortable with and that makes us resonate with that higher truth.
Well, anyway,
I'm talking to
everyone.
If you want to touch the obelisk, if that works for you, hey, I'm not gonna stop.
No, I know. I'm just finding, but no, it's nice to just get clues. I'm not saying we should follow any gurus anymore, but there are people who are connected at moments in history that
right.
have a, they're way showers. And
right.
they should
yes.
be worshipped.
Yes.
They should just be respected.
Yes,
right.
and that's what we did when she contacted us again. We made sure that we got all the information she had, so she ever, so she could feel free to come and go.
What was that?
I would like to say, Alan. I would like to say one thing. You were on the right track with the idea of stone, okay? Because stone, obviously, and I'm thinking since you're talking. I'm going to be at Stonehenge in the beginning of August, but I can tell you if I were there on the 28th, that I would definitely be in that area, or in the Avebury Stone Circle. These are Neolithic sites of incredible power because of the ley lines which run underneath them, right?
I know. I was going to go over there for the crop circle. There's some amazing crop circles happening this year, which I think are also signals from the high.
Well, I'm going over to do a conference on that on the 9th of August in Wiltshire.
Oh, you're
going to
be at the Wiltshire Crop Circle Conference?
Yeah,
yes.
I'm
going to
be there.
Oh, and I was there last year. Maybe I'll see you there. But where are you guys going to be? What are you both going to be? What, Anna, Al, what are you going to be doing on the 28th?
Well, I'm going to be in Montreal with a group of people in a big park here called Parc La Fontaine. And we're going to have a big gathering and big meditation.
It looks like Central Park, but it's smaller. But it's
much smaller.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for your huge contribution to the consciousness of the planet. And I've been talking to Bradfield and Anna L., and they are responsible for really putting the word out about Fire the Grid 2, which is happening July 28th. Of this 2009 in New York at 6:19 p.m. to 7:19, but all day long that energy will be coming in to the planet, right?
Yes, all day long we're going to benefit from that energy, sure.
Okay.
So if
and
people want more information, they can go on the firethegrid.org or firethegrid.com and read the plan. That's how the meditation is described there.
Okay, it's under, yeah, right, it's a very beautiful website that Bradfield created. It's very, very nice.
With
and,
much help from the light beings, I can tell you. The light beings have a wonderful sense of color, and they actually very specifically suggested how to build that website. I was simply the one who executed the work. That's all I did.
Well... Thank you. Well, thank you both. Okay, and the website, and they can contact you or any other information they want is at the website,
mm-hmm.
firethegrid.com or firethegrid.org.
Thank you, Alan, for the work. Thank you for the work you're doing as well. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, and I have a feeling we're going to be talking again soon.
Well, we definitely will, and I'll call you after the show. I want to tell you about that guy I mentioned earlier who's a kind of another messenger from someplace. But thank you both, and I... Welcome anyone to join me, Alan Steinfeld, in Central Park, July 28th. We'll gather probably a little bit before 6 p.m. at Cleopatra's Needle for a group meditation, and we'll just, the more the better, we'll see what comes in. So I invite everyone to do that. It's also mentioned on my website, which is newrealities.com, and I have a link to firethegrid.com. So, thank you. I've been talking to Anna L. and Bradfield in Canada, and thank you for your work.
Well, thank you, Alan, for inviting us.
Thanks, and I'll be calling you guys.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.